If, as you're reading the Bible, you'll see that people wanted to remember the events that happened around them. In the passage that we read here today, we observe God appearing to Jacob, and Jacob changing his name. Jacob was known in Scripture as he was a twin, correct? You look at me like... The air conditioning's on, isn't it? Isn't it nice? Okay. And so what happened is him and his brother, his twin brother, had a falling out, did they not? And so, and all those things came to a head, and Jacob sent gifts to his brother and saying that the next group of people was coming, and finally he meets his brother again. Well, a lot of things happened in Jacob's life, and he was known as a trickster, right? So God works in his heart and life, and a lot of other things happened, and so God changes his name. And he was so impressed, or it was impressed upon him, that he makes a pillar. That's what it says. That's not a pillow. That's a pillar. If we were down south, we'd have to say that because, you know, everybody sleeps on a pillar, you know. No, that's it's not a pillow. It's a pillar. So he stacks some rocks up. He pours a drink offering on it, and he pours oil on it. And so, but he wanted to remember that God spoke to him. And then goes a little way down the road, and his wife passes away, giving birth. Rachel dies, and Benjamin is born. Now, a lot of times we remember the story of Joseph, and, you know, then Benjamin comes into the picture there as he wants to see his younger brother and all of that. But, and so over her grave, he sets up a pillar because he wants to remember. Now, there's some things that we do to remember. I was talking to my Aunt Shirley. She's here today. Uncle Jim and Aunt Shirley's here. They went around to the graves yesterday. So we set up pillars in one aspect. We have tombstones where we remember a loved one. And I take my grandson on our lawn tractor. We drive around town, and we have a good time. But we always stop up by Grandma and Grandpa Dressler's grave, and we remember. I remember. It's sometimes you cry a little bit, sometimes you don't, sometimes it's very tender, sometimes it depends what's on your mind. Now, for us, we're observing Memorial Day, and last year I went and did a Wikipedia search and told you what it was, and so a lot of times it gets confusing what Memorial Day is, because in our desire not to leave anybody out, which I think that's just being politically correct, okay? Because we're scared to death we're going to offend somebody. So if you're a veteran today and you're still alive, I'm not honoring you. We'll do that on Veterans Day, okay? But there is a handout sheet in the bulletin that we prepared and put in there of people who died. And, you know, of course, I think I told you this joke last year, but you'll hear this every year. But, you know, churches used to have what was called an honor roll, and they put it on a wall. And they'd have the list of people there, and those little guys would be in church, and when they get all wiggly, and you know how kids do, they get, of course, adults get wiggly too. There's this little guy, and he was just about dying, and his mom said, sit up and listen, sit up and listen, and finally got looking around, and he said, what's the honor roll for? And she said, well, that's all the folks that died in the service. Well, then he wanted to know right away what service was it, the morning service or the evening service, okay? But churches used to have honor rolls, and so they would put on a board because they wanted to remember. What would we remember in Memorial Day? Memorial Day, we remember what great freedom we have. At what great cost it came to us, right? That's true. That's true. My own family, which would be the Gouch family, was touched in a real personal way, and others of you have been touched in a very personal way if you have lost a loved one in service to our country. And I often wonder what my life would be like if that had not been. I would be a Gouch rather than a Dressler. Isn't that interesting? Boy, that come close, Glenn. That come real close. You know, the Scripture tells us really not to look back. You say, well, are you going to do that? Well, in Luke, you don't have to turn there because I want to get through this in a good time this morning. But in Luke chapter 9, Jesus is addressing those who are making excuses for not following him. And here's the passage. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That passage is not instructing us to forsake remembering or participating in a time of remembrance. That passage is instructing us not to make excuses for not following Jesus. It is healthy for any believer to remember. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. The role of remembering, that's what it is. And if you look, the handout sheet starts with number one, but really, as I set the table for that, let's say this, that life becomes so consuming that it's easy to forget. I took my son, and he wanted to look at a tractor yesterday at Lowe's and see if I tell him this, then they pay me for all these advertisements in the sermon. You know, I've sold out completely. But we went in there, and he was going to buy a John Deere tractor. Of course, the only tractor to buy, you know, those of you that have red and all that stuff, you know, you got to get your heart right. But anyways, I came out. I didn't know where I parked. And you say, well, that's easy. Well, yeah, if you park in the front row, it's easy to see. But what happens when you don't park? Did you ever do that? Did you ever park and you forget where you park? Let me see your hand. You ever forget where you park? Oh, yeah. I am not alone, okay? And so I'm sitting there. Now here's the neat thing, okay? I just love these remotes. Because you know what? If you have yours set for the lock, you can hit it 3-4 times and it'll beep the horn. Oh, yeah. See, I don't hit the red one because my battery might go dead till I find it. But, you know, I'm going like this. I'm thinking, all right, I got this. So I'm out there going like this. And I'm listening. And there, yep, I heard it. And I finally found it. Why? Because life gets so busy that we forget even where we park our vehicles, right? I mean, that is just incredible. And you think, really? Well, yeah. And just think about the more important things. Well, now, how important is it to know where my vehicle is? Well, it's not important while I'm in the store. Who cares? But when I want to go home, that gets pretty important. Can you imagine seeing me walking out Route 35? You go through there. All right, I'm walking down the road. You stop, Pastor, what's the matter? I parked at Walmart, and I couldn't find my vehicle. I gave up and started walking home. You'd think, okay, I'm picking him up, and we're going over to Geisinger. That's where we're going, right? Oh, yeah, but now watch this. What is the role of remembering? What do I need to remember? So number one is this. First of all, as believers, you say, well, you're going to leave the whole Memorial Day theme. No, we're going to get back there a little bit. But I think what we have to do is we have to look, and let's be objective about it. Let's look at the scripture. Let's put what would I prioritize in my life as remembering? And the first one would be my salvation. And what would that be? Well, see, Jacob built a pillar to remind him of that great day when God spoke to him. When God appeared to him and changed his name, and he made a pillar, and so it would be this. Will I call to remembrance the time when God spoke to my heart and showed me my need for Jesus? Because that's what happened. If you name the name of Christ today, it's because God spoke to your heart. Now, he might have used a preacher. In my particular case, I was 19. Karen and I were invited to a revival service, and Ernie Zechman was the preacher. He lived right over on Route 522 for a while. Most of you, probably you older folks, know of Ernie Zechman. But I remember being in that revival service, and God opened my eyes and opened my heart, just like he did Lydia in the book of Acts is recorded for us. And what happened? I responded to the gospel. That was a wonderful day. I was saved. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? It's good to remember those times, to remember my salvation, for you to remember your salvation. And here's the thing. Now, I want to be real clear with you. I hope it's that clear with you today that you know when you first came to faith in Christ. Amen? That doesn't mean that I didn't believe that Jesus was a person before that. Why? I went to church as a little guy and wasn't necessarily escorted by my parents and went to a couple VBSs and things of that nature. But you know, when I was 19, I realized I was a sinner. I realized I was on my way to hell. I realized, listen to this, I realized that just because Mom didn't know it, God did. Does that make sense to you? Made sense to me. Because I was always, my mom had a wooden spoon, buddy, that could light you up. Didn't matter if you were 8 years old or 15 years old. She didn't care how old you were, buddy. She'd light you up. So, but anyways, remembering our salvation is throughout the Scripture. Paul gets saved on the Damascus Road. What does he do? He shares that testimony throughout the book of Acts as he's ministering. He made it a regular point in his life to remember of coming to meet Jesus. And along with that, I think, and I almost made it a separate point, but I thought I'd just make it a sub-point. It's not on your sheet and won't be on the thing. Is we need to remember the price of our salvation. What it cost. Didn't cost me a thing. As a matter of fact, as I came hopeless and helpless before God, I found out that when I looked at the Scriptures, what it cost God to save me was His only Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And as I read of the cross, and Jesus hanging on the cross. But even before that, as I read of the Garden of Gethsemane, the agony in which my Savior was in, that is the price of my salvation. The death of His Son. Number two, what do I need to remember? My purpose of life. Now think about that. You say, I can't believe it. Well, what is my purpose of life? Oh, my. Well, the first one is this, and it's on your sheet. It's 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, every one of us love to eat and drink, don't we? Man, you know, Mountain Dew. I'm not a big Mountain Dew fan, but they came out with all this neat Mountain Dew. I bought some the other day. Wow. I'm just about ready to give up on Coke. Just like, I just said, limited edition. That'll be it. That's what it is. See, we like to eat and drink. See, today, a nice root beer milkshake will just go right down, huh? See, watch this. I'm going to say, let's pray and everybody will leave. I said, where'd they go? They all went down Dairy Queen and got a root beer milkshake. Tell them Pastor Dave sent you, then I get free stuff, okay? Just got to do that. You got to do that. But what's my purpose in life? To do all to the glory of God. You say, well, Pastor, well, now remember, let me say, in my opening remarks, life becomes so consuming that it's easy to forget. The daily grind, that's what they call it. Why do you think they call it the rat race? Isn't that true? Do you ever hear that phrase, the rat race? See, I'm getting so old now that I don't know what the young people call it. You know, you watch TV and they'll say, you know, this is what's trending. And you think that's what trending is. That's a new dance move they made out, right? No, that just means it's to us old folks. You know what that is? That's what's happening. You know, back to the comedians of yesteryear, you know, what's happening? What's happening, man? That boy, that's old, isn't it? That's almost like saying groovy. You say, hey, that guy's going to come out with old bell bottoms on and lapels that wide on his suit that he looks like he could fly in a wind, right? Now, let's not go that far. But my purpose in life. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 says this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what it is. What are we supposed to do? Purpose of life is that I might desire to be like Christ. Not only live my life to the glory of God, but that I might desire to be like Christ. That I would press towards Christ-likeness. I remember every Monday morning getting up and going into the maintenance shop at Wood Mode. And I have to admit, I was never a person, I always liked Mondays. Thursday was no man's land to me. You know, because I lived on a different schedule than most people. You had church on Sunday, and you traditionally, and Blake, he's so funny. He's told us the other day, he said, "Grandma, Grandpa, how come you always take a nap on Sunday afternoons? I don't like that." See, because that's as a Christian, you get in a habit, you go to church Sunday morning, preacher bores you to death, you can hardly wait to get home, and then you go and then you fall asleep for real rather than just doze off in the pew. You sleep a good 2-3 hours, you get up Sunday evening, you go to church, and then you're all rested up for Monday morning. See, the world, they leave work on Friday just running with a flag. Yippee, it's here, right? And they put the flag down Monday morning on the way to work, and they walk in and they're going, "Oh, man, am I beat." I would go in Monday morning, and I'd be, heard some good preaching, got a good nap, I'm all rested up. Wednesday, I was looking forward to church on Wednesday night. See, Wednesday's not a hump day for me. Thursday was no man's land. It's like, oh, boy, I'm dead. So anyways, but it would be easy to forget that I am to be like Jesus, and I'm supposed to pursue in my life to be Christ-like and to pursue it as an athlete would. That's what Paul's talking about in this passage. Literally straining with everything in me to be like Christ. And then the third one is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. This is verses 1 and 2, one of my favorite passages. Coming off of the hall of faith, or the heroes of the faith, in Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And every one of us here today, and even those who are on vacation, the race is set before them. It is set before us. And what is that? Not necessarily to retire. Not necessarily to retire comfortable. But that we might complete the race that is set before us. And what are we supposed to do? Looking unto Jesus. It doesn't say look unto Uncle Sam. It doesn't say looking unto the next election cycle. It doesn't say looking unto the pastor. It says looking unto Jesus. What? Because He is the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Who are you looking at today? See, here's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not supposed to get the purpose of my life. I'm running this race. And if I understand the whole idea of running a race in the Bible, it took concentrated training. And it took effort. I used to watch a lot of the Olympics, and a lot of times I'm just so attention deficit that if I can't have like 6 different screens going, and commercials just drive me crazy, don't they? You, they just drive me crazy. How many times can you listen to these things that they're trying to sell you? Just how many times without exploding in your home? You know, it's like, you know, they have those commercials where their heads blow off and it's purple. That's what I do all the time. Now I forgot what I was going to say. I was talking about TV, right? I hate that when I lose my line of thought. I just get so into what I'm saying. It's just like, I like what I'm saying, then I forget. Okay. Huh? Oh, the Olympics. Yeah, here's this guy. Thank you, Jake. She was listening. You guys weren't listening. You all get bad marks. Thank you. But I remember as a kid watching this one guy. He was not supposed to win. Remember, he ran with a ball cap on? Remember that guy? And he's just out there going like this. Pretty soon he wins the race. He didn't win the race by turning around and looking around him. He ran the race because he concentrated on the purpose at hand. And the purpose at hand was running the race. Amen? What's our purpose in life? First of all, that we might live to the glory of God. Second of all, that we might be like Jesus. And thirdly, is that we might run the race that's set before us. And every race that's set before you, say, well, it's all the same. You know what? We come from varied backgrounds of life. Everybody has a race set before them, and they can run that race looking unto Jesus. They can run that race to the glory of God, and they can run that race and be like Jesus. Amen? Oh, yeah. And that's what it's about. That's what it means to be the purpose of life. To remember our purpose in life. Number three, my blessings in life. And this is where we come to Memorial Day weekend. Did you realize this? In Luke chapter 15, we won't turn there for the sake of time, but Luke chapter 15 comes into the middle of the prodigal son. The prodigal son got all bent out of shape, and he asked his father for his inheritance because he forgot that he was blessed when he was growing up. He forgot what he had being raised in his family. See, I know all of us around here, if you were a teenager, you were very respectful all the time, I'm sure. I'm sure that you never were tempted to call your father the old man. Right? I almost gagged saying that today. I had no trouble as a teenager being that disrespectful. Or I won't even say what we called mom, because she'd wail the daylight. I'll tell you what, she'd resurrect and spank me next time I walked by just for even thinking it. But how about the prodigal son asked for his inheritance, went and squandered it, and you read the passage, the Bible says he came to himself, and when he came to himself, it's because he remembered what he had in a family. And it says this, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He finally remembered what he had. But watch this, not what he had, but who were considered the lowest in the family, what they had. And you know what? When that happened in his life, he got his heart right with God. And he found a forgiving father. Of course, we don't want to teach that whole lesson, but he remembered the blessings in his life. Do I realize the blessings that I have with my family, my wife, her parents? My parents are gone. But you know what I find? I find what a heritage God gave me in my family. And now as I have a family, and we were over at my son's place. I was helping him do some things to this tractor he got. My daughter pulls up. And for a moment, I thought, standing there in the shade, hot as blue blazes yesterday. Amen? Isn't that wonderful to say that? Oh, yeah. With a hypocrite when I put the air conditioners in before I did anything. But how blessed I am. Amen? And you're blessed too today, are you not? You say, man, you know, I just don't see eye to eye. Well, okay, so what? Then look past. Blake, he's so funny. He says, I love Grandpa. I love Grandma a million. And then everybody from there is down. Okay, she's got the top seat. He gives her a hug and a kiss, and Grandpa gets... So he was looking out the window at me. I said, okay, you don't want to say bye to me. That's fine. So I went in, comes down the step. I love you, Grandpa. Sure. Convincing me to death. Right? That's my family. Those are my blessings. How about my church? Oh, do you thank God for your church today? I'm not talking about your pastor. I'm talking about your church, the church family. I'm only one person in this church. But, you know, this church goes far and away more than I've only been here a year and a half. You know, when I tell people about the wonders of First Baptist Church, wow, what a heritage. You and I. I'll tell you what, we get together on Thursday mornings. And, Bob, you'll attest to this. Larry's not here today. He's laying out. I got to catch up with him. Okay? Get him. See, I got a bed. What do we pray for? We pray for this ministry. We pray for God's power to be evident on the corner of 4th and Chestnut. Amen? Come on now. That's what we do. I want to see God change people's lives. I want to see Him change my life. Amen? And you know how He does that? He does that through His church. He does it through His Word, of course. But you know what? Here we are. We're gathered here today. But are you thankful for your church? Do we have problems? Of course we have problems. You know why? Because we're all sinners saved by grace. Come on now. Amen? Well, you know what? They're just not perfect down there at that church. Okay, look in the mirror. Say, I'm perfect. Oh, yeah. The mirror's going to crack. Floor's going to open up. Hell's coming up through the floor right there, right? Can't believe I said that. That's terrible. But you talk to some people, it's just like, oh, yeah. There's always problems. And there are always problems in life. Come on now. Amen. Is there problems in your life? Problems in my life. Whether it be, you know, you buy something and it breaks. That's just the least of it. Amen? I remember I got Dad's tractor at the estate sale. We hauled it all the way up to Bakerburg because that's where we lived. Oh, I never had I had a riding tractor one time that dusted for mosquitoes at the same time. So you had to get a bath before you got on it and after you got off it. Okay? It was just nasty. But this is the first real tractor I had. I'm driving down through and I'm mowing. First thing I do is I hit a big piece of steel. It tore the mowing belt. I thought, man, I am so proud of this moment. I was just pleased to death. Right? Isn't that it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my church. And watch this. Now, I'm thankful for my country. I'm thankful for my country. I'm thankful that I live in America. I have a national pride that's a good thing. You know, I travel around the world. I have. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to live anywhere but here. You say, that's because you have a hot shower. No, that's because this is my country. This is my country. I am blessed. I am blessed with the history of this country. Just as the Bible talks that we ought to have a national pride. Paul said, living at Rome, in Romans chapter 10, my heart's desire and prayer is that Israel might be saved. He had a national pride. And so, these are the things, my blessings in life. Oh my. Are you looking today and remembering the blessings in your life? That's what it's talking about. And when we talk about our country, people have paid the ultimate price for you and me to sit here today. Amen? Now, I know if we look at the heritage of Christianity, people have paid the ultimate price that we might carry this book and that we might have this book to read. Amen? The Bible, right? That's right. But as I consider my country and those who paid that sacrifice, my oh my, I'm going to get excited tomorrow morning. They're going to do a small Memorial Day parade in Freeburg. They've done it ever since I was a kid. When I was a little kid, I'd follow them. And they'd go up to each cemetery and they'd do a gun salute to all those who died in service for our country. They'd read, and we'd go around, we'd grab up the cartridges and stuff, and we were excited about that. I sit there now, and it'll only take 2, 3, maybe 4 minutes for it to walk by, and the veterans will be dressed up, those who could still get in their uniforms. Right? See, they didn't have relaxed fit then, right? Okay. Yeah. So anyways, and they'll walk by, and you know what? I'll get tears in my eyes. Realizing of what God has given me. Amen? Amen. And then last but not least, I think of my future. You say your future? Oh, you're 60. Oh, you mean 70. I retired in 2001 when I went into ministry, so I don't know what I could do anymore on retirement because I don't do anything, right? Karen will say, Dave, quit doing that. They're going to believe you one of these days. But John 14 says it this way. Jesus said this. He was telling his disciples he's going away. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's enough for me. That's enough for me. People say, well, aren't you concerned about how it's going to happen? Well, Jesus says, you know what? Paul wrote, he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep. And he talks about the fact that the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, will be caught up together with them in the air. It's enough for me. Amen? Come on, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place. That's enough for me. He says, I'm coming one day. It's enough for me. You say, well, you're encouraging me not to study and have a body of stuff. You know what? I don't know if it's going to be an Apache helicopter that's painted up like a dragon. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be a nuclear explosion. I don't know. But all I know is this, is Jesus says he's coming back. Amen? Oh, yeah. And he said, Dave, live as though I'm coming today. Hallelujah. That's my future. You see why I talked about this today? These are the easiest things in life to forget. These are the easiest things in life to forget. Paying the bills, taking care of our responsibilities, taking care of our families. You know what? There isn't anything worse than a toddler that needs a nap. Right? Now, come on. Amen? You say, well, I'm sitting in traffic. I don't know. Toddler that's waiting for a nap. And you know what? I watch Blake, and Blake is 5 years old. From about 4 o'clock on to 6:30, I'll tell you what, life stops at our house when he's there, and it becomes Blake. Because he just needs a good nap. Life gets so busy. And we can be sometimes so distracted. But you know what? God says this. He wants me to remember. Jacob built the pillars in his life. That reminded me that there's some things in my life that's worth remembering. Some things that I want to remember. I trust that we will search the scriptures and say, you know, Pastor Dave, these things are worth remembering. Because they really are. Let's pray.